We're excited about what the Lord is doing. And we've just really been praying this morning that God would speak to your hearts this morning, not only through worship, but as we open the Word. You know, the Word of God says that the entrance of your Word brings light. It brings light. And I want to pray that God would do that for us. Just bring His light. You know, in my life, I was saved a very long time ago. Anyway, around 12. And it seems very long time ago. And the Lord has continually poured Himself out in my life as I have sat and made room for Him. So I want to challenge you this morning as we are getting into how to take our thoughts captive, winning the battle for our mind. We're going back into that. And we're going to start taking hold of some strongholds in our lives. And I just want you to have an open heart here about asking the Lord, where is that in my life? Is that in my life? Ask Him. He's so good. And I always want to start and begin, rather, with the love of Christ. Everything is always, you have to start with that. Because if you were raised at all, or if you see God as angry with you, disappointed in you, oh, you've done this again, you know, you just can't seem to get anything right. If you see God in that light, in that filter, because we're talking about filters, then you're always going to see Him as very harsh. And it's going to be hard to really, I think, to open your heart to Him. I mean, it would be for me. And I've seen God in that way a lot at times in my life, where I have seen Him very disappointed because I have failed yet again. So I want to kind of lay that foundation for us, that it's the love of God, that when He comes and He wants to show us things, it's not because we're bad necessarily, it's because He wants us to draw close to Him. And so when we have things in our life, which we all do, it keeps us from being able to enter in fully into the presence of God, where He can just love on us and set us free. Does that make sense? So I just want to make sure that you all kind of see it from that perspective, not that we have something harsh coming, but just to make sure that you understand. That is what I always feel that God has for us. It's always out of a heart of love and just the really want you to see the deep love He has for you, the deep love. He understands where you've come from. He really does. He understands the deep disappointment you may carry and the deep hurt that you may have at times. He really does. And so He wants to set us free so we can love Him and love others and really and love ourselves. That's another point of loving ourselves well as well. So I'm having lots of opportunities.
Yeah, boy, oh boy. This is crazy this morning. Thank the Lord for helping us out here.
Yeah, thank you, Glenn.
We're back
everybody.
Up and going.
Amen.
Let's pray.
Yes.
Let's pray. Father, in the midst of just little challenges like this, God, help our hearts and our spirits just to be really focused right now. Because, Lord, even earlier today, Tracy and I are just joining together and fighting in intercession for freedom for people's hearts and lives, God. I believe You want to bring freedom today. And, Lord, as we contend for that, would You just bring Your anointing, Your presence, Your power against every stronghold that might be in our hearts and minds, Lord. Demolish those strongholds and let us live in a new level of freedom in You, in Jesus' strong name. Amen and amen. Well, I was going to kind of do a little bit of a example here this morning, honey. I'm probably going to need your help real quick. We've been laying the foundation over the last several weeks of tearing down strongholds. And strongholds get built up in our lives through the lies of the enemy. And he is a very capable liar. And we oftentimes just, we believe his lies. We end up giving into and believing those lies, whether they be that we're not worthy. It could be insecurity. It could be just all kinds of different things. Here, you're going to hold this over here, right?
Hold this right here.
You're
okay.
Going to hold that right there?
With
your mic. Yeah, I'll hold it with you.
Okay,
but these things get, you know, this might be unforgiveness. This might be unworthiness. This might be insecurity. This might be where, quite honestly, you were rejected, felt, you know, not wanted, unlovely, unlovable. Just there's all kinds of different things that the enemy, he will just move in. He's an opportunist, and he will just move in and start to build up literally a stronghold in our thinking, and it becomes an unholy filter, and everything we filter goes through that thought, that thought that we're unworthy or that we're unlovable, whatever it is. And the Lord says to pull down those strongholds, and that's what we want to do today, literally just pull down those strongholds and demolish them, so that they no longer have a power or a presence in our lives. You guys were supposed to clap when I knocked that over, because that was so impressive. That was so powerful. Man, what an illustration, Pastor Jeff. You just knocked those little paper blocks over. All right, anyway, hallelujah. So, winning the battle for your mind. We've just to give us a quick review. We've been talking about as a man thinks in his heart, so is he, Proverbs 23:7. Sha'ar means to be a gatekeeper, and it means that we've got to learn to think about what we think about, because those thoughts are absolutely crucial if we're going to win the battle that God wants us to win. So this morning I want to get us ready to come against these personal strongholds, and there are 6 key words that I want to share with you today in preparation for where we're going today and in some future weeks, for a few weeks at least. And we do a thing every year, honey, called a freedom retreat.
Right.
And really, I'm hoping that this will just kind of whet your appetite for the freedom retreat. Mm-hmm. This isn't meant to replace it, but boy, we want to get ready so you can have a summer of blessing in the Lord. Mm-hmm. And what better day than Pentecost Sunday? But let me talk about 6 key words. The first is humility. Listen, you're never going to receive anything from God without walking in a level of humility. God makes it really clear in his word that he opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Your heart, my heart, to receive anything from the Lord has to be in a place of humility before him. Amen?
Yes, that's right.
Really important. And then honesty. You know, for any of us to find a new level of freedom, we've got to be honest with the fact that we've allowed things in our lives, we've allowed thoughts. I did this a couple of weeks ago, I won't do it again today, but I just ask everybody, how many of you have ever dealt with negative thoughts? And every single person in the room put their hand up. Mm-hmm. Every single person. And that means that the enemy has tried and probably been successful in some areas to influence your thinking and to create some strongholds in your life. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have to be honest. Then third, you're going to have to recognize that you've allowed him to have some space and a place. You're going to have to repent. Repentance is a positive word, by the way. It's a powerful word, right? Because it allows God to come in and do something powerful in our lives. And then, you know, reward and renewal kind of go together. Doing this hard work, is it going to be worth it? I mean, really is the question that most of us would ask. And I just got to tell you, it'll lead to a new level of renewal and breakthrough in your life. When you get free, it's such a glorious feeling.
Yeah.
It's like somebody's lifted about a 1,000,000-pound weight off your shoulders and you're walking just almost, you're just skipping along. There is something so glorious about walking in freedom. Most of us have walked with some kind of the enemy's had a hold, the enemy's had a grip, the enemy has weighed us down. And when you get free, it's a wonderful thing. So we want to walk with you into a new level of freedom today even.
Listen, I'll tell you too, it really creates a new level of intimacy that you didn't even realize. You didn't even realize. That happened to me this week, by the way, just for a minute. I didn't realize that I never really learned how to share my hurt with another person. I always kind of handled it by myself. And so there was kind of a shame in it of being able to be honest with somebody else, even with my husband. I've cried in the closet before when we were first married, unable to really be honest with him about the pain that I was carrying in my life. I just kind of hid it, and then I would come out happy again because that's just kind of how I learned to do things. And, you know, the Father, he put his finger on that this week for me, and I'm really uncomfortable. But the Lord said to me, I want you to stop crying alone. There are people around you who will love you, but you have to let them in, which is a thing of vulnerability for me and a little scary. So I began to realize, and I didn't even realize it. I didn't even know it. That's just how I always did things. But as soon as that wall started coming down, there was a new level of intimacy between us, and God had done a healing. Now, I'm not perfect, please believe me, but it was a stronghold I didn't know. And we talk about this, and it becomes our identity. Well, that's just how I am, and I'm just strong like that. I don't know how to cry in front of people. It's uncomfortable. I just don't know. We were created to be intimate with God, to be connected with ourselves. We live so much here. I can do it. But we never really connect to our hearts. That's really important, guys. We were created to connect to our hearts and then connect to one another. Save people in your life. So what does Scripture talk about? Well, our foundational Scripture is 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Now listen, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. It's important. But mighty in God, what is it? Mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Yes. We do it God's way, we pull down strongholds, right? Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ.
Amen.
Every thought. Yes. I don't know about you, but I have lots of thoughts. I'm a woman. I think all the time. So I know you do too, guys, but mine isn't linear. Mine's just all over the place. Somebody told me today, look around to where I began. Isn't that the truth?
That's right.
So we are bi-habitational beings, guys. Bi-habitational, which means we live in this world, but we were created and truly to live in the world of the Spirit. See, what happens a lot of times is what we see here becomes more real to us than the Lord and his ways of doing things. I just want to challenge you. He is saying to us, we can live differently.
Yes.
You can live differently. The relationship that you maybe struggle with, or, you know, just how you see yourself all the time. You know, how you see yourself. Do you see yourself properly before the Lord? Do you see your spouse or your family? Do you see God correctly? We can. We really can, and I don't think we realize how much burdens that we're carrying that really affect us and the filters that we live with, right? So what is the definition of a stronghold? A stronghold is a satanic lie, a generational mindset, or a human wounding. Think about those three things that you have listened to long enough, believed strongly enough, and owned deeply enough that it has become part of your identity. It has fortified itself in you and dictates your thoughts, beliefs, actions, and reactions. And they are unholy filters through which all your thoughts pass.
You know, last week I talked a little bit about, just kind of gave you an example of how through a wounding of your past you might have really developed an unholy filter, just feeling unworthy. This morning I want to give you just kind of a different one, just again to kind of give you an idea how these things develop in us. You know, if today Pam's my friend down here in the third row, if Pam were to come to me after the service today and say to me, hey, Pastor Jeff, that was an awesome message today. And by the way, that'd be really nice if you did that, Pam. That'd be really nice. You know, if she came to me and said, that was an awesome message today, you know, that's a compliment, that's a blessing, that's something really nice to say. But if I have had a long-term insecure, mine might go, okay? And maybe you can relate to some of this, okay? She says, wow, what an awesome message today. And instead of being able to receive that compliment and go, well, thank you, I really appreciate that. Praise God, I'm glad it ministered to you, receiving that in some way. My mind would potentially go to, well, did she not like last week's message? I mean, she's talking about how good this one was, but would she think last week's was just, you know, chopped liver? I mean, I don't understand why, you know, I mean, she didn't say anything. I remember seeing her last week. She didn't compliment me at all. In fact, I remember her saying, "Hi, Pastor Jeff." She didn't say anything about the message. She must not have liked last week. I can't believe it. And see, that insecure mindset, again, that's like a filter, right? Again, it's a filter that all your thoughts go through. And if you're not careful, it really influences your thoughts. So here Pam is just trying to be kind, to be encouraging. And if I'm not careful, that thing's become filtered. And now, if I don't get a hold of that, it's going to damage my relationship with Pam. Every time I'm going to see her, I'm not going to think, boy, she really complimented me. I'm going to go, oh, yeah, okay, she doesn't really care for most of my preaching. And, you know, and I mean, it's just the enemy gets a hold of this. How many of you can kind of understand what I'm talking about here? You've had incidents, situations with people, and you've jumped to some kind of conclusion that wasn't there. That wasn't what they were meaning at all. It was just an innocent compliment. And your unholy filter has taken it somewhere else. Well, tell us what we're going to talk about today, honey. We're not going to talk about insecurity today, but we're going to focus in on one of the biggest strongholds and one of the most important. It really influences and affects every other thing. What are we going to talk about today?
We're talking about unforgiveness.
Yes.
Unforgiveness. It says there's a statistic that says 86% of people in churches struggle with unforgiveness, which I think really there's probably more.
I believe. Yeah. It's huge.
It is a mindset. When unforgiveness is present, listen to this, every other stronghold has a better chance of existing.
That's right.
The effects of unforgiveness are that far reaching and powerful. Mm. So like this is the mother load. And you're from mother root.
Yeah.
You know, from being in unforgiveness, right, toward yourself, toward others, or toward God. Mm. That's what gets me a lot of times. This has been a stronghold in my life, unforgiveness. And it's hard because, you know, I think, well, I'm a pastor's wife. I know better. I've been raised in the church. I know better. So here's how I do it. Oh, yeah, I forgive. Yeah, I forgive. Yeah, I forgive. Yeah, I forgive. All here.
Wow.
So I don't really let myself feel sometimes the disappointment or the hurt that happens. Mm. See, we just kind of want it because I know the right thing to say. I want to be right because,
right,
you know, I'm an Enneagram 9 and with the wing of a 1. So everything becomes all about good and bad, and I don't want to be bad. So I'm going to forgive, and I'm like a robot. Mm. Right? But every time I see that person, I'm like, I don't want them to be blessed. I hope a locust gets on them. You know, I mean, I'm not, you know, I am just not, I'm not blessing them. I can't pray for them. I'm not rejoicing when they're blessed. I'm, you know, I mean, I have this, you know, and you can leave the locust alone. They're
okay. Yeah, I'm talking to him over here.
Okay. So, you know, this is the thing though. You have to really, and see a stronghold a lot of times gets in there. Again, it's a mindset. Mm. Well, I have to have boundaries. I mean, I'm not going to let them get close enough to get to hurt me. Mm-hmm. Okay, am I right about boundaries? Yes. Mm. But is it a boundary or is it a wall?
Right.
That's always the question. Because, you know, I know what to say, guys. I can say all kinds of things and justify it all day long with a spiritual twist. Mm. But we have to really look at, do I truly walk in forgiveness of people? And what does that look like in my life?
Yeah, amen.
Every one of us is going to have to make a choice. And this
right.
is really important, to forgive or not to forgive. Mm. So you can't just wait till somebody does something and go, I don't know if I'm going to forgive you. You have to make the choice now.
Right.
I'm going to walk as a forgiving person.
Right.
I'm going to choose to forgive. And again, this is a process, walking with the Lord. It doesn't always come automatically, as you all know. It doesn't. Mm. We have to wrestle with the hurt or the disappointment or the pain with God. My heart.
Right.
And it's a process.
Right.
But we have to be willing to make that decision now because this is what God has called us to do. This is His way. This is the kingdom's way. Mm. Right? This is how the kingdom works, through forgiveness. So that's important.
I think it's important to say too, hon, that forgiveness, real forgiveness, that God wants us to practice and exercise doesn't make what that person did to us right.
Oh, yeah.
By any means. And we're never saying that when we're saying we need to forgive.
Right. Mm-mm.
There's been some horrible, horrific things that others have done to even folks here in this room. That doesn't make that right in any way. Mm-hmm. Forgiveness really is more about our freedom than theirs.
Yeah, that's true.
And it really is a blessing for us. We're either going to live free through forgiveness, or we're going to find ourselves continually bound through unforgiveness. So it's really a choice that we have to make. It's an incredibly important choice. And Jesus has given every Christian, every one of us, not only the motivation, but also the tools to be able to forgive. Mm-hmm. Forgiveness is giving what others, what Jesus has first of all given us.
Yeah.
And it's really realizing just the precious gift that he's given us through forgiving us of our horrific sin that puts us in a place that now we can pass on that forgiveness to others. And it's so incredibly important to do so. And unforgiveness, really, if you trace it back, when we hold on and we don't forgive, it's really due to the failure to see two really crucial truths. And I want you to get them this morning. And the first is simply this: the depth of forgiveness that Jesus has shown us, and the things from which he saved us. And some of you think, well, you know, I grew up in the church. I really didn't do that many bad things. Listen, if we were to compare you before you came to Christ, were you more like Jesus or were you more like Hitler? You would have been more like Hitler, believe me. Because in reality, your sins, whether you murdered somebody or you did some horrific big sin in the eyes of our society, you sinned against God. You chose against God. You rejected God. You rebelled against God. Your sin separated you from God. It may have been smaller sins, but it was probably many of them. And they were repeated over and over until you found that forgiveness. And sometimes we just don't realize it was our sin that sent Jesus to the cross.
That's right.
It was our sin that hung him there. Your sin, my sin, it's not about comparing sins. Well, you sinned worse than I did. No. Mm-hmm. Every one of us, the Bible makes it really clear, have sinned.
Yeah.
And then secondly, we need to understand the costly price that we pay for not forgiving others. There is a huge price in holding on to unforgiveness. And my hope and my prayer today is that that some of you are just going to find a newfound level of freedom and forgiveness today.
That's right.
Take us into the parable that Jesus told, honey.
And you all know this parable, Matthew 18, 21 through 35.
Oh, this is powerful.
And then Peter came to him and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him?" Sounds spiritual, doesn't it? Up to seven times? He was being generous, I really believe. You know, yeah, I can, you know, seven times. So Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents.
Wow.
But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold, listen to this, with his wife and children and all that he had." Interesting, isn't it? Interesting. He had a debt that affected everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And that payment be made. And the servant therefore fell down before him, saying, "Master, I have patience. Please have patience with me, and I will pay you all." And then the master of that servant was moved with compassion and released him and forgave him the debt.
Wow, that's huge. That is huge. But that servant then went out.
Mm-hmm.
You would have thought he would have been eternally grateful, right, for the amount he's been forgiven. By the way, that 10,000 talents literally means millions of dollars, a debt that's so huge there's no way he could have paid it back in a lifetime. But that servant went out, instead of being grateful, instead of being thankful, instead of celebrating this wonderful gift of freedom that he's been granted, he went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. You know how much 100 denarii is, hon? A denarii was about one day's wage. So 100 days' wages, several thousand dollars compared to millions of dollars. Okay, there's no real comparison here. And he laid hands on him. I wanted to act this out, honey, but you were afraid you would have to play this role. And he took him by the throat saying, "Pay me what you owe me." So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me and I'll pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what he had done, they were very grieved, and they came and they told their master all that had been done. Then the master, after he called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him.
So Jesus ended, so my heavenly Father will also do to you. If each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses.
Wow.
I remember struggling in a relationship a couple years ago, and I was just stuck. I was stuck. And it was not with him, by the way. Don't be thinking I'm like, it wasn't with Jeff. Although we have had moments, believe me. We didn't choke each other, but you know, it was hard. But anyway, I was struggling in this relationship, very justified in my feelings. Well, I just can't believe they said that, and I can't believe that they act like that. And so, and this scripture really stood out to me about the heart. Mm. And the conviction of the Lord fell on me. I just thought, you know, God, here's what was happening. My heart was getting harder and harder toward them and toward the Lord and toward other people. So unforgiveness is a lot like that plant kudzu. If you all are familiar with it here, it takes over everything. You can't just keep it in one place. Unforgiveness grows. It just grows, and you become a harder person. And so Jesus wants us to forgive from the heart because he doesn't want your heart to become hard toward him or toward yourself or toward other people. And we all need forgiveness, whether it's big or small. Pride, a lot of times, and that's what I was dealing with, was what I was what I was dealing with, right? And you don't always see pride on the outside. Pride grows. It's insidious on the inside. Well, can't believe that I have to do that. I don't want to say I'm sorry. I didn't do anything wrong. I can't believe I have to say I'm sorry. You know, that we get this, and it's pride. And here's what I feel like God shows me a lot of times, is that I feel I have a picture sometimes of the Lord, and he sits with me very patiently and very kind. And he looks at me with his eyes and he says, I've got more for you. I know they've hurt you, but if you will forgive, it becomes this open place, open space, more than what you're thinking that you need retribution or you need some sort of, you know, payment for. That God would give us more, and he's wanting to. But when we're holding on to something else because we think we deserve this, we're pushing God away from us. So you have to understand how serious this is. So the wicked servant failed to see how much he was forgiven. That's kind of how I am sometimes. Well, I wasn't that bad. I mean, you know, I didn't do that much wrong. I didn't have a bad attitude. You see how much pride I have in my life? Dear Lord. Oh, anyway, I'm so glad God loves me. 10,000 talents equals millions of dollars, just like you said. It's a lot of, he could not in a million years pay that back. He failed to see how much he was forgiven.
Right.
And then after being forgiven of all that, he could not, there was no compassion in his heart toward his brother.
Right.
Toward someone else. And that's something else you need to look at. I was looking at that in my life. I'm like, I can't feel the Lord. I have no compassion toward really anybody at this point. That always shows me I don't even have compassion for myself, by the way. I want you to see that the cost of unforgiveness will take you further than you want to go. Believe me, it's a cost. It's something that we will regret. But once I'm kind of unable to hear from the Lord, I'm unable to really draw close to those that I want to draw close to, I always look at unforgiveness in my life. I have to, because it's been a stronghold. And the enemy is always looking for opportunities to hit that soft place again. Ooh, look at the way they talk to you. Look at the way, oh, they didn't do their dishes again. My goodness, they don't respect you. They just use you all the time. Anybody else familiar with that? Then I get really like, I can't believe that. Unforgiveness, you know. So I just want you to see that. So the wicked servant failed to see the costly price he would pay for not forgiving. Cost him his life. He was thrown back into that prison again.
That's right.
Isn't that interesting? Got out of the prison, and he was thrown back in the prison.
Yeah.
So, interesting.
This is just a huge matter. And so many times we don't take it fully to heart. We don't see just how important this is. I really want you to get a hold of that today. In 2 Corinthians, Paul writes something really interesting. And it's attached to something that was written in 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians, there was a man in the church there in Corinth who had sinned horribly. Okay, he had sinned horribly. The church confronted him about it, had to put him out and give him over to discipline for a season. And of course, they were praying for him and for his restoration. And then in 2 Corinthians, these are letters, and they've come back to Paul, and they've communicated something about that situation that I want to share with you. Now, Paul says this, "Now whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I've forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ." Listen to these words, "lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." In other words, this man, even though he'd sinned horrifically, he had repented, he had come back, he had made things right. And Paul is saying, then you know what? Then we forgive him, and I forgive him along with you. Because if we don't forgive, we're giving a place to the enemy to bring about imprisoning, torturing strongholds over our lives if we allow unforgiveness to be present in any way. It's far-reaching, and it affects many people. And let me share this one with you, too, and I think a lot of times we miss this. Okay, we love the Lord's Prayer, and hopefully that's something that's a part of your prayer life, that you've exercised in praying through the Lord's Prayer, that you've realized Jesus kind of laid out for us a model prayer with model topics that we're to pray through. And if you remember in the middle of that prayer, you know, "forgive us our debts as we forgive those who have debted against us, that have trespassed against us, that have sinned against us." In other words, he's saying, forgive me just like I'm forgiving them. This is a current thing. It's really an everyday thing. I grew up, for whatever reason, being fairly sensitive. And some of you are that way in this room. Some of you are not. Some of you, you know, you're sensitive, and you have a tendency to get offended or hurt easily, wounded easily. Some of you got tough skin, you know, and things just roll off of you. It kind of depends a lot on your personality and the way you were raised. And I know this about me, I've got to be really careful or an offense can quickly turn into unforgiveness for me. And what I did as a kid is I learned to use that unforgiveness as kind of a tactic and a tool, right? If you hurt me and I allowed that hurt to then turn into unforgiveness, I just cut you off.
That's right.
And my world got smaller and smaller and smaller because once I cut you off, I didn't want to relate with you anymore. And some of you, you've had that kind of experience. And here's the reason Jesus includes this in the Lord's Prayer is because almost daily we need to be keeping an eye on our hearts to make sure that we are walking in forgiveness. So at the end of the Lord's Prayer, Jesus tacks on these words. And why would he do this? Because it's this important. This is at the end of the Lord's Prayer. Not a part of it, but at the end of it. Kind of saying, oh, and by the way, please don't miss this. "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Forgiveness is the bridge we got to walk over to get to God. And we need to be walking over that every day, forgiving those that have hurt us. So here's what we're going to do today. We're going to ask you to join with us, and we're going to share with you a pre-scripture prayer, okay? Not a prescription, but a pre-scripture prayer, because this is medicine for our souls. This is life to our hearts and our lives. So I'm going to ask you to stand with me, and Tracy and I are going to lead you, each and every one of you. If you would just, let's just pray this all together, because every one of us deals with this if we're honest, right? That's one of those key words, right? We've got to be honest. We've got to recognize this is something we deal with. So I'll start, And I want you to just join in with me, okay? And let's do this in a spirit of prayer. And some of you today, you're going to find a new level of freedom. You're going to walk out that door almost skipping on air, man, because it's just going to be that good. So you ready? Let's pray it together. Father, it is beyond human comprehension how you could love me so much that you would send Jesus to pay the unspeakable price for my sins so I could be forgiven and have eternal life.
I might never know the full extent of the depths of forgiveness you have afforded me. But what I do know about the depravity of my own sin, past, present, and future is that it is massive and offensive to you.
You'll notice, by the way, the scripture references, if you want to look this up, you might even want to take pictures of these just to have them to continue to fight this good fight. Here we go. Father, thank you for having compassion on me, releasing me, and forgiving me from the debt I could never pay on my own.
Lord, thank you for being a God who forgives my iniquity, my transgressions, and my sins.
Thank you that though my sins were red as scarlet, come on, pray it out with me, church, you made them as white as snow. And though my sins were red as crimson, you made them as white as wool.
They can't see it on the screen, honey.
Oh, I'm not moving.
That's why they're not praying with us.
Well, sorry. Please forgive me.
Yeah, forgive us. There you go. Okay.
Somebody shout me down when I'm messing up here. Just please feel free to let me know.
We'll start. Thank you for removing my sins from me as far as the east is from the west.
Thank you for remembering my sins and lawless deeds no more.
Thank you for cleansing and forgiving me from all my sin and unrighteousness.
Today, right now, as an act of faith and obedience, I choose to forgive those who have hurt me and sinned against me, just as you forgave me.
I offer them the same compassion, release, and forgiveness you gave me.
I choose to walk in forgiveness and offer it continually.
I choose to love my enemies, bless those who curse me, do good to those who hate me, and pray for those who spitefully use me and persecute me.
I realize forgiveness is something I must do.
I repent of an unforgiving spirit while needing forgiveness myself.
I refuse to let Satan take advantage of me in this area any longer.
Father, because it is clearly your will, I renounce the stronghold of unforgiveness in my life. In Jesus' name, by his love, mercy, and power, amen.
Amen. Go ahead and give the Lord praise.
Yes,
amen.
We love you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you so much, God. You're
worship
so
team,
to
come
us.
On up, please.
Yes. I just want to encourage you as we're, because we've kind of just kind of cleaned house, you know, of unforgiveness. Please continue. Remember, we are bi-habitational beings, right? We live in this world. We're going to get hurt, but we've already chosen. We're going to be forgiving towards those who hurt us. And remember, take every thought captive. Now, those of you who are married, when you get into the car, do not argue about where you're going to go to eat, right? Or if that spouse kind of starts getting on your nerves, just remember, okay, I got to take thoughts captive. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm telling you, this is how it is. It's the boss that you work with that gets on your last nerve. It's the neighbor that never puts those garbage cans away. It's the dog that always barks, and you're like, what is wrong with that neighbor? Oh, wait, hold on. Okay, that does bother me. But God, see what I'm saying? Take those thoughts captive. This is who you are. It is a spiritual battle. It is a warfare, and the enemy is always looking for the opportunity. Oh, okay, I'm gonna get that brick. Let's lay another brick here. Let's lay another brick. You have to be alert to the enemy's schemes. So this is a good thing, of course, but you have to do the fight. You have to pick up your sword, not with your spouse or with your neighbor, but against the enemy. Remember, he is the one that we battle. It's the enemy, not the person that is in front of us, maybe saying things we don't want to hear. You can do this.
Yes.
You can do this in the Lord. I would encourage you one last thought. If you struggle with unforgiveness, if you struggle with something, get a scripture. If you're like, God, I just, what they do and what they say to me is more real to me than you, then I want you to know that it's okay. There's a wounding there. Take that scripture, sit with the Lord about his love for you. Ask the Lord, please become more real to me here in this than those person's words or what I've experienced in my life. Help me, God, to go from here to here with the Lord. Sit with him. Ask him to meet you. He will, because he loves you that much. He will help you. You are not alone. You don't have to do this by yourself. And it's okay if you're weak. I challenge you. He will set you free, and he will continue to set you free. So let's worship. In the ministry team, if you could come up. Yeah. If you are like, God, that is me, and I need somebody to agree with me, you know, to walk in further victory. If you feel like, well, God, I am just stuck in this. There's so much hurt in my life. I just don't know if I can truly forgive. It's okay to... This is why we need one another, guys,
right,
that we can agree with each other. We can help each other. We can battle together.
Right.
Because, you know, when we battle, we put those sword or the shields, put them together, and we start fighting, right? From victory, not to victory, but from victory.
Amen.
So come up if you need prayer for anything, for anything. We love you all. And, you know, you that are watching, pray with us. God wants to set you free and has set you free. So if you need prayer, you know, you can always text us or send it, call us and let us know, because we want to pray for you too. So thank you, Lord.